Tonight we're going to be opening our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. You know some verses in Proverbs 3, like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 perhaps. I want to talk about employing the divine guide tonight. Employing the divine guide. Have you ever been lost? I've been lost a few times in my life. I was kind of bewildered in caverns before when they turned the lights off. And what do you do? It's pitch black and you don't know whether to walk. And if you did know, you wouldn't know which way to walk. I've been lost in the woods a couple of times, especially at night, hunting at night. And first time I came in Maine, I got lost a time or two. I turned around a bit, not terribly. And I visited another country a couple times. I was in Israel and in Spain. I got lost in Jerusalem, in the old city, outside of the walls, looking for Hezekiah's tunnel. Mary Jean and I got lost. We got an Arab helper, and he wanted some money when we got through. I put a couple dollars in his hand, and he kept it out there. I said, "That's all you get." And so it's not a fun thing at times to be lost. Several things can help us when we're lost. We could have some signs, that's nice, or some sounds. If you're lost in the woods, just listen. Some sounds sometimes can point you in the right direction. Some people can find their direction by the stars, and that's helpful, I'm sure. Maps, written instructions, but what would be better than a personal guide? A personal guide. You're lost and you have a personal guide to get you where you need to be. Life for a Christian is like a journey through a strange land to which we do not belong, right? Earth. We do not belong here. We're citizens of heaven and we're just passing through, pilgrims, sojourners. One of these days we'll be in the presence of the Lord and we'll be where we're intended to be. But while we're here, we need a guide. We need a guide to help us through life. I think you understand what I mean. I don't mean how to get from here to there, but just how to go through life and help us with decisions and this way or this way, Lord. And we need help, and we have help. We have a personal guide through this life. The Bible says in Psalm 37 and verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 give us, they provide unique instructions about employing our Lord as a divine guide for us. Look at the verses, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. They say, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Do you see it there? "And He shall direct our paths." We have the guide if we want Him. But there are three prerequisites for asking for His help, or assuming that we'll have His guidance through our life. He says, excuse me, in verse 5, number 1 is trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The word trust is, well, just like our word trust. It means firm reliance on the integrity, the ability, the character of a person or a thing. To trust it. There could be many illustrations. I always think of this little girl standing in a hayloft, and her daddy's down below saying, "Jump, I'll catch you." And she has to trust dad to catch her. It could be like a mountain climber. It amazes me. Sometimes you're approaching a mountain. There was a big mountain close to where I grew up. It was called Stone Mountain. And it had a vertical face for hundreds of feet up in the air. It was quite a formidable mountain for mountain climbers, and I've watched people climb up there. If you're far away, you don't see the ropes. You just see people hanging onto the little ridges and the rocks, and then if you get closer, you'll see their ropes, and it's amazing how much confidence they have in their ropes, and they do. They do. They trust their lives to those ropes and swing away from the rocks even and back. But our trust, according to this verse, needs to be in the Lord. We need to trust in the Lord. This necessarily involves a healthy distrust in ourselves. Because if we're trusting ourselves, we're not trusting the Lord. We need to trust in the Lord and not trust in ourselves. Trusting in the Lord is not trusting in our God-given abilities. People say, well, that's the Lord gave us our abilities. But you understand, they have their limitations. The Lord has no limitations. It's not trusting in our God-given church or our God-given pastor or our God-given mate or our God-given family. All of these have their limitations. Jeremiah said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. That's Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. I'm going to read it again. Listen carefully. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Man's not capable. There are limitations. And there are too many things we don't know, too many things we don't understand of what we see. We trust in the Lord, though, because He is trustworthy. Our God is trustworthy. Think of Lamentations 3:22. It says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Lamentations 3:22 and 23. It's by His mercies that we're not consumed. He's trustworthy. He takes care of us. It is the mercy of God that keeps us alive and keeps us going and keeps us doing things. We need to remember that. We need the Lord. He alone is trustworthy. He alone is able. I love the verse in Ephesians chapter 3. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He can do exceeding abundantly above what we're able to even imagine. I don't remember what it was. Just recently, Mary Jean and I were talking, and that came to my mind. Something that needed to be done, and I remembered this particular verse. God can do that. He can do that. He can do whatever we can imagine and exceeding abundantly above it. We serve an able God, so we ought to trust Him, right? We ought to trust Him because He's trustworthy and because He's able. Are you trusting the Lord for anything? Are you trusting the Lord for everything? Probably the anything, everybody goes, well, yeah, for everything. Well, that's a little harder to say, isn't it? There may be times when we trust Him about more or for more than at other times, but we ought to trust Him for everything. Are you trusting Him in all or with all of your heart? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's like putting all your eggs in one basket and letting go. Did you ever see the film Sheffy? Okay, some not. Do you remember when they had the camp meeting and there was a lady who loaned the camp her organ, and it was on the back of a wagon, and there were men under it, and they had it up higher than their head, her organ, and it was bellows in there, and it was squeaking all sorts of weird tunes. And she had her arms up like this, and she was walking around, she was going, ooh, 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 ooh. She didn't quite trust those men to handle her organ. We need to be able to trust the Lord with all of our heart. Take our hands off and don't worry about it. With all of our heart, we trust the Lord. If He fails, if my Lord fails, I die. We have to abandon ourselves to Him. That's trusting Him with all of our heart. The second prerequisite to having Him to be our divine guide is to lean not on our own understandings. Now, we've already talked about we have to have a healthy abandonment of self. We can't have a self-reliance. We need to be relying upon the Lord. Lean not on our own understanding, like the little child who jumps, doesn't have any, doesn't know how the daddy's going to work this out down there. He doesn't know how this is all going to play out, but she just trusts him. And she bounds off of there with a big giggle, waiting to be caught before she hits the ground. That is commitment with no reserve. Now, that's a good example of what I'm talking about. You have to think about it. Have you abandoned self to the Lord? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In other words, you won't be able to figure it out. And why not lean on our own understanding? There's good reason to give up our own understanding. Our understanding is not adequate. Our understanding is not dependable. We're not really all that smart. We won't always know the right way to go. We won't always know the right thing to do. But He does. He does. And He can help us. Leaning on our own understanding when we have the Lord is sort of like, I think I shared with you before, I had a pastor a few years back, and he was called upon in his earlier days to paint the ceiling of a grocery store. Do you remember me saying this? He was going to paint the ceiling of a grocery store, and he had two helpers. They came in and they had their paint bucket and their brush, and they were going to brush the ceiling of a grocery store. How long do you think that would take? He had a roller, and he got his roller all ready, and he said, "Did you guys want to use rollers?" And they said, "No, we're using a brush. I'm not going to use those newfangled." That was back with newfangled roller. And so they started brushing, and before long, he painted all around them with his roller. Our leaning on our own understanding is comparable to that. God's so much more capable than we are. We have so little to offer in terms of calling the shots or ordering our steps or being the captain of our own destination, if you will. We need to let the Lord take care of this. Leaning on our own understanding is not wise. God clearly stated in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, He said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God said that very plainly for us right there. Can you think of any biblical example of somebody who really didn't give their own thoughts much thought? They just did what God said. There are a lot of examples. How about Abraham? Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. I'm going to read some verses there if you want to turn, you're welcome to. Genesis 12, 1 to 4. And listen to what God asked Abraham to do. Now, God's never asked me to do. I didn't need to leave Ur of the Chaldees, and I didn't need to sacrifice my son. None of those things were required of me. The Lord never said, "Go," and I'm not telling you where you're going. Just get up and go. Leave. I'll show you on the way. Look at verse 1, chapter 12, verse 1. "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." That's His instruction. "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Read the next three words out loud. "So Abraham departed." He left. Now, maybe there was a little time there. Maybe he talked it over with his family. I don't know. But the Bible wants us to understand God said leave, and Abraham left. As the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Later, in chapter 22 and verse 2, God told Abraham to sacrifice. The word that he used was blood sacrificed. He knew what it meant. He meant kill him on an altar. Sacrifice your son, Isaac. And the Bible tells us in verse 2, well, let's look at verse 2 and then verse 10. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. God didn't give him much to go on, did he? Didn't explain. Verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Abraham was abandoned. He abandoned self unto the Lord. The third prerequisite back in Proverbs chapter 3 is in verse 6. The first part of the verse says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. Well, why? Why do I have to tell him what I'm doing? The answer is because he is Lord. He is Lord. This is really part of something that we accept when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, right? I don't believe a person can get saved and not have any idea who Jesus is, do you? Or no idea what he's done. They would have to know who he is. They would have to understand that they are their creatures of dust created by Almighty God. And you understand that we've sinned against God. And he is the Lord. And I need him in this life. And we have to acknowledge him in all of our ways because he is Lord. We realize who he is, we realize what he's done, we realize what he's capable of doing. And when we recognize him as Lord, we surrender everything to him. Why? Because that's what it means to realize he's Lord. Is he your Lord? Then have you abandoned yourself to the Lord? Have you allowed him to be the owner, to call all the shots, to have all of the ambition for your life? Have you given that to him? We no longer have a will of our own because it becomes our will to do his will. You see, this is a definition of growing up in the Lord, isn't it? To understand how things really are. We recognize that he is Lord. We abandon ourselves to him. Therefore, we talk to him about everything. And it's an ongoing trust. An ongoing trust. Not in selected areas of life, but in all of life. In every aspect of our life, our living. We must never make a move without consulting our divine God. That's what this is saying. In all your ways, acknowledge him. What's God's part then? When I have trusted in the Lord with my whole heart, when I no longer want to lean upon my own understanding, and when I'm ready to acknowledge him about every aspect of life, every decision, every responsibility, then what's his responsibility? He says he'll direct our paths. You recognize his claim on your life. You abandon yourself to him and you desire to know what his will is so that you might make it your will. Jesus said to the Pharisees in John chapter 7, which we just studied recently, he said, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. That verse fascinates me. He said, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So if you were willing to hear from God, he would talk to you. If you were willing to do what he wants, he would show you what he wants. He's talking to the Pharisees there. So God affirms his truth to those who desire to do his will. Just sort of a paraphrase. He directs their paths. To those who wish to do the will of God, he will reveal his will in everything that matters. Whether it be buying a home or changing jobs or church involvement or wayward children or restoring a marriage or establishing our purpose in life, understanding the scriptures, choosing a doctor, when to retire, forgiving someone who's wronged you, which school and what program, and everything else. You want to do what God wills for your life? If you desire to do his will, he'll show you what it is. He doesn't want it to be a secret. That God will direct our paths is implied in that John 7:17 verse. It's implied. It's an implication in that passage. But in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it is the interpretation of the passage. It is a biblical truth. One brother says, this is the pole star of a child of God. Faith in Father's providence, promises, and grace. Faith in his Father's providence, promises, and grace. So if we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, if we don't lean on our own understanding, if in everything we do, we talk to the Lord about it, we acknowledge the Lord about it, he will direct our paths. He will. How? How does God direct our path? It's the same as the question, how do you know the will of God? Well, I would put right at the head of the list, the top of the list, we need to know his will by his word. Would you agree? His word has so much information. By his word, administered by the Holy Spirit of God, brought back to our mind, to our recall by the Spirit of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. You see, he'll direct us by his word. The Bible tells us he'll do that. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God will be perfect, throughly furnished, completely furnished for all the good works, for everything God wants to do with him. He'll guide us by his word. How will God guide us? Well, by his word. He'll also use the counsel of godly Christians. Now, not the counsel of somebody who's not walking with the Lord, but somebody you know to be walking with the Lord will probably give you good biblical advice. Where no counsel is, the people fall, Proverbs 11:14. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. I know there's a context to that, but the idea is the same for what we're talking about now. Counsel, God uses counsel. He did in the scriptures. He used the prophets. He used the apostles. He uses pastors and preachers and teachers. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. It even rhymes, doesn't it? Proverbs 12:15. Counsel. We need counsel. Listen to people who love the Lord. God will use them to show you what to do. Because we're in the midst of these circumstances and we're confused and we're inundated with different ideas and thoughts by everybody around us, and a good godly counselor can be helpful. they're harder and harder to come by these days. Good, godly counsel. How else might God direct our path? He might do it by simply controlling the circumstances. The circumstances are in His hands. He can make a flood on the world. He can make the sun stand still for a day. God can do anything. The circumstances are His. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Proverbs 16 and verse 9. Or another verse, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will. The reason I use that verse, it says all things. He can work anything after the counsel of His own will. Ephesians chapter 1 is talking about our standing in Christ. I realize that. But the implication of that verse is He can do anything in any circumstance. And the Bible, of course, confirms that and affirms that. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 say that God can lead us by His peace. Somebody's got this big decision to make, and are you still going to school there? You know, I don't have peace about it. You ever hear that? I don't have peace about this. And we're waiting for the Lord to give us peace. Now, if we're not walking with the Lord and we're not leaning upon the Lord and trusting in His word and in His wisdom, then we're not going to have peace. But God can give you peace. If you think on His things, Philippians 4, God will give you peace that passes understanding. You won't even know why you feel so good. You won't know why you feel as confident as you do, but God will make you confident about things. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Colossians 3:15 would go right along with that idea. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called into one body, and be ye thankful. Rule is it's like be the umpire, call the shots, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. If you've ever had the peace of God in decision making, you never want to make another decision without it, because that's a good feeling. We had a pretty serious time in our life. I had been called to a church in Pennsylvania, and I went to candidate at the church, and they voted me down because the church was divided. Some of them wanted to be a Baptist church, and others wanted to be a Bible church, and there was a lot of conflict. They wouldn't have voted on the Apostle Paul and accepted him at that point. But they turned me down. A year later, I was still praying about that church, because I told them, I said, God already gave me peace about coming, so you guys missed it. You need to go back and pray some more. It was not a desirable situation, but I knew the Lord wanted me there. And I told my family, I said, I never want to make another decision without peace. I have, because I was so bottled up in all the circumstances and I confused myself, and I've made decisions without that kind of peace. But oh, isn't it wonderful to have the peace of God when you're making decisions? We can have it. God will lead us by His peace. There's other good examples. Noah is a good example about trusting in the Lord. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. God told him, rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And a few verses later it says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. build a boat in the desert. As far as we know, he didn't ask any questions. He built a boat in the desert. And the Lord said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. That was in chapter 7 and verse 1. In verse 7 it says, And Noah went in, and his sons and his wives, and his sons' wives with him, into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. Elijah's another good example, the prophet Elijah. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And in verse 5 it says, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. In chapter 17, this is all in 1 Kings, that was 17:2-5, 17:8-10. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. In chapter 18, verses 1 and 2, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. Next words. Brothers and sisters, we need to let the Lord call the shots. Proverbs 3:5-6 tells us how. How does it start? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time to look at these verses that we know so well, to think about, Lord, what they mean. I pray that you would bless them, Lord, as we consider them in our own lives and for our own lives. Lord, I pray for myself and I pray for all my brothers and sisters here. Help us not to care what we want anymore. And Lord, give us a desire to want what you want for us. Want to do your will for us. Father, we thank you that you're willing to be our divine guide. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.